You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, we have Knox Nalis from Integrity Title Solutions. Welcome, Knox.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Doing fantastic. And also want to welcome to the studio, we have Barbara Bellassi from the Bellassi team at Keller Williams in Kirkwood. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi there.
Thank you for coming in today. So want to jump right into our topic here. And our topic is for sale by owners, or better known as FSBO. FSBO is the acronym for that. And it seems to be a do-it-yourselfer society, and a lot of people seem to be really tempted to sell their house by owner. I guess, what are your initial comments on that, Barbara? What are your initial thoughts? Because you probably run across it all the time, don't you?
I do. And I usually, will reach out to those homeowners who are working to sell on their own and see how I can help. And often they end up hiring a realtor. We know that 80% of sellers who list for sale by owner originally do end up listing with a realtor to help them, procure the buyer and close the sale.
When only there's less than 10% that list by owner actually end up selling. So if 80% list with a realtor, there's probably another 10% that just take it off the market. And I don't like those odds. I don't like, if I was trying to sell my house by owner, anything where the odds are against me, especially there's a 9-to-1 ratio that it's not going to sell, I personally don't like the way that starts out.
I agree. And really, one of the most compelling facts about sellers who list for sale by owner is that in 2013, the average sale price for homes listed for sale by owner across the nation was $174,900, whereas the average sale price for a home listed with the realtor is $215,000. So that's quite a bit different.
Wow. So $174,900 if they're selling by owner, but average price of $215,000 is selling by a realtor, so that's a difference of $40,000.
Exactly.
That's pretty significant.
Absolutely.
Knox, do you know anybody that's ever tried to sell their house by owner?
Don't tell anybody, but I did.
Did you seriously?
I did. Back in the day, I tried to sell, my wife and I tried to sell our first house on our own, and it turned out to be a really horrible experience. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, what made it a horrible experience for you?
Well, a number of things. One of which was the people that I allowed a contract from were not properly qualified, and they, as a result, I passed on other people that were going to place a probably more valid contract on it, not having spoken to my realtor who had a quality lender like yourself to guide them, and as a result, I ended up leaving that house on the market probably another 60 days.
Ouch. Because as a for sale by owner, you may not have known to ask for a pre-qualification letter. And if you got one, you wouldn't know whether it was a reputable lender or not.
No, it could have been written in pencil for all I would have known.
Right.
Oh, you're qualified? Great. Thank you. Sign here. I had no idea with my Office Max contract that it might not be a good idea.
Right. Okay. So that speaks, the contracts to me would be one of the scary things. And Barbara, you guys go through extensive training on how to write contracts.
We do, absolutely. And there's ongoing continuing education to keep realtors informed about any changes to the contract. And then there's just things that are actually would be considered customary in our market that aren't necessarily, written in black and white on the contract. But, for example, it's customary for a seller to make any repairs that the municipal inspection requires. Well, if you read the contract, it actually says that the seller could negotiate that with the buyer, but we just don't see that every day. And so If a seller doesn't have anyone to counsel them about the advantage of, say, doing something like that, what we would consider customary here in St. Louis, they might step into an argument with their buyer that's really unnecessary.
Right, and the Board of Realtors contract has been agreed upon with the Missouri Bar Association, so it's a contract that has been combed over and negotiated back and forth between the attorneys, the realtors, to figure out what really works and what doesn't work to make transactions go smoothly. And your contract is, it's like 8 to 10 pages long, isn't it?
It's a standard residential sale contract is 8 pages, and then often people will include contract riders or additional documents to be part of the contract, yes.
And I've read those line by line, and I know that there's very little fluff involved in there because each one of those things are things that can come up that cause lawsuits that people don't know about. And you get that Office Max contract, Knox, like what you had, and typically those are like 2 pages long. How much real protection can they put in a 2-page contract?
Oh, a lot. It was really wonderful. No, just kidding. It wasn't good. And if I can digress, the one thing that you don't think about, I think fundamentally, above all of the financial and monetary part of this, is that a realtor qualifies buyers, has met them, potential buyers, brings them to your home. If I'm on Craigslist and I'm letting anyone come to my house, we've seen empirically throughout the nation the horrible things that can happen because sometimes the people that are coming to your house don't necessarily want to buy your house, but they do want to do you harm. And that's the scariest part to me.
That's pretty scary. I didn't even think of it from that angle. Well, and if somebody has been qualified by a realtor and they're coming through the house, the super box on there, I like that because for those of you that don't know, the super box records with the super key exactly who's come in and who hasn't. And it doesn't work after, what's the time, Barbara? Isn't it like after 10 o'clock at night?
You can set the boxes to shut down at any time. I mean, I have some families that want the box to shut down at 6 o'clock because they have kids in the evening. And they want to make sure that there's not a chance that anybody could access the box in the evening hours. We can set that according to a seller's wishes.
Okay. All right. So basically nobody's going to come in and use that during the night. They're not going to have access to it, even if they had a super key, which they're not going to have unless they're a licensed realtor. And they're all separate, so it records who's been in and who hasn't. So if something's ever missing out of the house, then you're going to be able to narrow that down to know, like, what agent, you know, what agent's been in there, which basically prevents any theft from ever happening.
Yeah, it's definitely it's in the best interest of the seller to have a very clear record of each person who's come in the house. Absolutely.
So as a for sale by owner, what are some other areas where this can go wrong for somebody trying to sell their house by owner?
Well, I think a lot of sellers or potential for sale by owner sellers don't realize that the contract is actually written to protect the buyer. The entire sale contract is written with contingencies in mind to put the buyer in a position that they can walk away or get out of the sale contract. So having a listing agent or a seller's agent help you recognize, you know, potential pitfalls along the way and respond accordingly is just so, so important.
Well, I think it protects both parties really well because having those contingency dates in place, you know that once they pass that financing contingency, as an example, that as a seller, you're going to be able to keep their earnest money if they don't go through with it at that point, once they pass those contingencies. So it's going to protect you as a seller, but then it also sets some good guidelines to protect a buyer that if they can't get their financing by that date, they can get their earnest money back without a dispute. And the fact that money, there are a lot of strict rules around holding of earnest money where you guys typically put it with a title company, right?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in Knox, as a, you know, running a title company, you guys hold earnest money funds a lot, and you know, there are pretty good guidelines in place to protect the buyer and the seller on when that money gets released, how it goes, you know, who it goes to. Do you guys run across that much?
We do. You know, in a situation like that, most of the time, if there's not another realtor involved, then there may not even be earnest money, which is scary in and of itself because then you're really open for vulnerability. And some of the other pitfalls we've seen are that the people will allow early occupancy into the house and things like that where they just didn't know any better. It sounded great. We have a contract. We're good to go. Well, no, you're not. Not until it's signed. And so when we hold those escrow funds for those respective parties, we make sure that everything has been adhered to in proper fashion. And if somebody is trying to gain early occupancy, things like that, we make sure that each person knows about that because it does reflect directly into the contract and is normally covered in it.
Well, and I would think, you know, if there is earnest money on a for sale by owner, the seller will probably want to hold that check. And as a buyer, good luck getting that money back.
Exactly.
If you do back out before one of those dates.
Right. No, that's a huge risk.
Well, and I would see inspections as another thing that most buyers aren't going to know about intuitively, because I see that most buyers, either their agent or the ones that educate them on getting a home inspection and knowing what inspector to use that's really good. I wouldn't want to buy a house without an inspection.
Oh, absolutely not. No, having an inspection is so important. So if you're talking about a buyer not having an agent, that's definitely an important conversation as well. I mean, each party having their own representation is just key to making the transaction go smoothly and in everyone's best interest.
Right. And let's talk about fiduciary responsibility for a minute, too, because legally in Missouri, the listing agent has a fiduciary responsibility to the seller, and a buyer's agent has a fiduciary responsibility to the buyer. And a fiduciary responsibility means that you have a legal obligation to represent that person's best interest first.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a listing agent, as an example, what are some of the rules around that really protect your seller with a fiduciary? What does that mean in real-world terms?
Well, a listing agent is not allowed to disclose the situation of the sellers, if there's a divorce involved, if there is a pending move that's imminent, you know, there's a job transfer, anything like that that would compromise the leverage of the seller, you know, the listing agent is not allowed to disclose that unless the seller gives express permission and encourages them to do so. We're not, you know, as a listing agent, we're not allowed to say, you know, the seller would accept much less than the asking price, again, unless the seller expresses to us directly to do so. We have very, very tight rules about how we communicate with the prospective buyer audience and their agents. We also, as realtors in St. Louis, were bound not only by a fiduciary responsibility, which is a legal obligation of the buyer's agency agreement and the listing contract, but we are members of the St. Louis Association of Realtors, and so we adhere to a code of ethics. And so we're very careful about, you know, what we say, how we treat our clients, how we interact with the public.
When that creates a layer of protection for a seller and for a buyer, because if there are any lawsuits involved, typically they'll go through the real estate brokerages,
mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, they have attorneys that can get involved and help protect a seller or protect a buyer from either end. And there aren't that many lawsuits, fortunately, because most transactions will end up going smoothly because of all these protective measures that are in place. Because it's much better to, you know, to have something come up in an inspection before closing than it is to buy a house without an inspection, have that problem later, and then go back and try to sue the seller for something that maybe they didn't disclose. If you would have the right inspection up front, it probably wouldn't even be an issue.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Barbara, if you have time to stick around, I have more questions, because if you want to know the four types of buyers that may be coming to look at your home, stick around, because we're going to be covering that coming up. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Have you or someone you know had a home buying experience that didn't go smoothly? Don't miss out on your next home by not having a mortgage pre-approval from someone you can trust. Get the negotiating power and peace of mind you need during your home search by giving your lender, the Doug Haldeman Mortgage Team, a call. They will guide you through a quick and easy pre-approval process that enables you to have the purchasing power you need to buy your next home. And it gives you a leg up over other buyers when you find the home you like. Nothing impresses a seller more than a buyer with a pre-approval in hand from the Doug Haldeman Mortgage Team. Call to get your pre-approval today at 314-472-DOUG. That's 314-472-D-O-U-G.
NMLS 298-419, Cherry Creek Mortgage, NMLS 3003, 13321 North Outer 40 Road, Chesterfield, Missouri 63017, Equal Housing Lender,